Okay, hello. Welcome to the first episode of the ACSI podcast. That's the Academy of Clinician Scientists and Innovators. Today, on a very special first episode of the podcast, I have Professors Sunny Wong and Joanne Niao to join me. And welcome, guys, to the podcast.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello, Etienne.
Thank you.
We've been working together over a year on this ACSI project, and it's recently just been launched. Sunny, why don't you tell us a bit about the ACSI and why you think we need it in Singapore?
Yeah, thanks, Etienne. So the ACSI, or the Academy of Clinician Scientists and Innovators, is a very important joint initiative. It is an initiative launched last year by the National Healthcare Group, NHG, and also the LKC Medicine, Lee Kuan Chan School of Medicine in NTU. The primary aim is to nurture and also to support the growing community of clinical researchers. And as we know, clinical researchers are people who practice, they are in the healthcare cluster, they provide clinical service, but yet, apart from that, they do research and they innovate within NHG and LKC Medicine. And by fostering the synergy between clinical practice, education, research, we hope to catalyze import and also do more on impactful applied studies that can be translated to improve our healthcare and also service deliveries.
The research community in Singapore has been growing quite well over the last decade or so, up to a point that I think we have quite a significant number of clinicians, scientists, all over NHG and LKC as well. What do you think the ACSI can do to support clinician scientists?
Yes, indeed. As you mentioned, these clinical talents are extremely important, and they are important because they are the people who understand about healthcare deliveries and also research. As you know, the overarching mission of the ACSI is to attract, nurture, and grow research and innovation talents in our community. And so this would actually provide the capacity of the entire cluster to innovate, to find new solutions, to ultimately improve healthcare and also advance our deliveries through evidence-based practice.
And Joanne, you came from SingHealth to LKC, and you have been amazing in helping us set up the ACSI. Can you tell us a bit about how you think the ACSI can benefit NHG and LKC?
So, like what Sunny mentioned, I strongly and passionately believe that clinician scientists have a very vital role in healthcare. All of us, actually, all clinicians, what we do is we observe, we see our patients, we see those who behave either as we expected, you know, or did something happen that is not what we expected. And we make these observations, and very often we are left with not knowing the answer and wondering why that might be the case. And so I feel like this entire enterprise of research should be encouraged in all clinicians and all doctors to just have that natural curiosity.
Curiosity, yes.
Yeah, the natural curiosity. You know, what are the difficult questions, unmet clinical needs? Just the ability to question that. And then, you know, that's how I started. And I know that's how you started, Etienne. We had questions and then we wanted to delve a little bit deeper. We got some coaching in basic research methods and then we just, you know, built it on our own. But it wasn't that fun to try and do it on your own and to have to find your own solutions and all that to this. So I think with ACSI, what we can do is better support young doctors in this journey. They, you know, hopefully it'll be an open door. People who have questions will come. They'll interact with slightly more seasoned. I won't say that we are seasoned. We're just slightly more seasoned than they are.
Just slightly salted.
Yeah, just slightly salted. You know, if they have questions, you know, how do we submit IRB? How do we tackle, you know, RCA or research collaborative agreement? That this can be a resource for them, you know, a place where they can ask these questions. We will provide training. And then this last part is what you and I do here. We also want to celebrate people who've done well and people whose effort has led to significant health impact. So I think ACSI plays all these roles. The first role, I think, is just to be a place that people can feel comfortable coming to.
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, personally, my own experience with research, I know it has been a bit of an uphill climb. Okay, just getting started itself from your schedule, your clinical schedule, it was not easy trying to fit in research, and only until you started getting national grants that you managed to balance your time properly. So that time before you actually get all those grants is very important to make sure that the budding clinician researchers do not lose hope or get distracted by other things.
Agree.
Yeah. So we've been working on things like the name, the mission statement, the logo of ACSI. What do you think researchers and innovators can look forward to from ACSI in the coming years, Sunny?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement and also enormous amount of opportunities. Of course, as we mentioned, the role of ACSI is to augment Singapore's research manpower by grooming more homegrown clinician scientists and innovators. And I think this will bring new opportunities to spark diverse collaborations that could be really interdisciplinary. And I also take the chance that the two organizations, they have their own edge of each other. So for example, NHG, as you know, is a major healthcare organization in the central part of Singapore. So actually it's looking and providing important healthcare to the entire population. And also, I think NHG has a lot of healthcare talents that we can tap into. On the other bit, NTU is an academic institution, but also it has a lot of different expertise from engineering, from the science, from humanities, from economists. So we can look at the healthcare from all different aspects. So we can do innovations, we can find new science, we can look into the environment, we can look into the cultural and also humanity aspect, health economic aspect. So this opens up a lot of opportunities, and I personally feel very excited about it. And as you mentioned, we have been doing this project all together. We have designed the logo, we have think about doing the branding, we have think about how to do it as a kind of fun project. And I would compare it to adventure. It's like a mountaineering. We never know what our future will be, but importantly, we have a destination, we have an aim, and we are walking this route together. And on the way, we are going to enjoy the scenery, we're going to enjoy the process, enjoy the friendship. And I think this is what is most about important about this journey.
Yeah, so I think we do have a lot of things planned. And also, we've also been coming up with awards and also ways we can recognize clinician scientists and innovators who have contributed to the local research environment as well. Now I'd just like to switch gears a little bit and maybe get to know the two of you a little bit more. Sunny, can you just please tell us a bit more about what your research interest is and why you decided to do research?
So I always have a bit of standing between the clinical and science. So I started off being a clinician, I'm a gastroenterologist, so we do take care of patients. But one thing that I got inspired is that when we really do routine stuff or kind of the clinical routines to take care of the patients, and the research actually opens up another opportunity that we can do things in a different way, in an innovative way, and that potentially can help a lot more people. And the other thing is that when we are applying the knowledge to help the person in front of us, I think the other bit is that we want also to create the knowledge, new knowledge, that we can help the patients in front of us. And I think this is the main motivations that we have been driving towards to do research and innovation. To me, I am a gastroenterologist, but we also had the opportunity of looking into the ecology inside the gastrointestinal tract. I do endoscopy, so I look at the colon, I look at the stomach every day, but in a way that we are looking into the microbes, what we call microbiome, into that. So we are looking into the science, the ecology, how actually these microbes, these little bugs, interact with our body, but in a meaningful way, because they can interact in the wrong way to cause diseases. So we are diving into these research to see how we can understand disease in host microbes interaction angle, and also how we can use this knowledge to improve our health. So this is what got me very excited.
And Joanne, same question. What kind of research do you do, and why did you get into research?
So I'm a medical oncologist, but that's got nothing very much to do with why I got into research. So I was in basically fourth year medical school. This was in Melbourne. And I had lecturers who were folks who basically came up with vaccines that eradicated diseases. And I was very excited by that very helicopter view of sort of medicine, meaning what can we do that can solve issues at the root. So one of my early childhood medical hood heroes is this guy called John Snow. Those of you who do not know him, he's basically the guy who identified that the Broad Street pump in London was the source of the cholera outbreak. And by identifying that source, we were able to then, you know, eradicate cholera and understand what caused cholera. So for me, solving puzzles, getting to the root of an issue was always been a driving force. And then when I became an oncologist, I was a little bit frustrated that as a medical oncologist, I was only treating people in stage 3, stage 4 with chemotherapy. I really had very little in terms of trying to impact whether anyone got cancer at all. And so that's when I decided to go and retrain in genomics. And then genomics has given me a tool to then look into why certain people are at higher risk of developing cancers, why they got cancers. And we're still trying to understand how genes interact with other genes and genes interact with the environment to give rise to this cancer risk. And so fundamentally, I think my entire research is about understanding cancer predisposition, particularly in Asia, because we don't know whether the risk factors in Asia are exactly the same as that elsewhere. And so that's what motivates me. We've only made some inroads into it. We now understand a little bit better why certain families are at risk of cancers, but there's just so much more to understand, especially the gene-environment interaction. So that's how I got into it, just basically trying to solve puzzles and trying to sort of get to the root of things. Yeah.
Yes, well, very interesting. I guess I have to answer for me also. So I'm a dermatologist and I have a special interest in hair research. And when I was exiting, I realized that there's actually very little we can do for hair patients. Our hair clinics were actually quite boring. There were only a few things we could offer our patients. And so I really decided that that's an area of, quite neglected in the area of dermatology. So that's why I went to train to study all I could about hair and hair biology. And I think ever since then, the field for hair research has actually exploded in the last few years, up to such a nut that now our clinics are very, very complicated.
Okay. There's a lot of hope then. Soon,
huh? There's a lot of hope, yeah. And yes. I must say a lot of very happy patients from all the new stuff that has come onto NSC recently.
Right. I mean, looking at my aside, head, I have to come to your clinic soon.
Yeah. I mean, jokes aside, like as a whole society or as healthcare, we can't just keep like treating diseases, in my mind. We have to really learn about the biology of why things happen so that we can actually intervene a lot earlier. So for me, at least especially for cancer and chronic diseases, I just feel like as a whole, you know, system, we can't just keep building hospitals. We can't just keep treating more. We have to kind of try and understand why. And so that's what gets me going.
Yeah, and it's a quality versus quantity story, and that's what the ACSI is here for, right? We're here to improve the research and the quality of the upcoming doctors and innovators in NHG and LKC. Yeah.
And I think in the part that research in itself is eventually partly also leads to better healthcare deliveries and the clinical service. So I think this is a part that I see that is actually not taking away the time from the service, but actually the results actually would help the service by itself.
Okay, and on that note, I think that was an amazing first episode. Thank you, Sunny and Joanne, for coming and sharing your thoughts on the ACSI with everyone. If people want to find us, you can see the ACS website on the ntu.edu.sg website. Okay, you can go and Google ACSI NHG or ACSI NTU and you see our website there. You can see our launch video as well as what we do.
Or just email us.
And we'll include the email in the description of this podcast. Okay, so please reach out if you have any questions, and we will see you next time on the ACSI podcast.
See you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.